I don't know how to pronounce Real Housewives of Ultimate Girls Trip like we do with like Roni or a Hoslick or Rahonja or Roni, because it's, how do you,
Wait, what is it? Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip?
Yeah. R-H-U-G-T. R-Hugta?
Rugit.
What?
Rugit.
Rugit.
Welcome to Boy Meets Bravo, your new favorite weekly Bravo TV recap podcast with a twist. We are two Bravoholics just trying to make it nice and show a formerly unwilling participant why Bravo TV is Gone with the Wind fabulous. I'm Bree.
And I'm LP, and this is Boy Meets Bravo.
Welcome back. It's episode 31, and happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, eat that turkey.
Yes. I had a question that I wanted to ask you guys that I've been asking a few people this week, because why not? What do you think is the most overrated Thanksgiving food?
Overrated.
I got a lot of turkey as the answers.
I don't disagree with that. I don't go to Thanksgiving for the turkey. I don't mind the turkey leftovers because I usually turn it into something I prefer. But I like the sides. I'm a side girl.
Okay.
That came out sounding wrong, but I do like the sides.
Nice.
To all the fellas out there.
Listen up.
I might agree. I honestly prefer ham to turkey. I'm thinking about it. I love me a sweet potato anything, preferably with marshmallows on it.
Ugh.
You don't like that?
You put marshmallows on your vegetables?
Sweet potato, like on sweet potato souffle or whatever. Yeah.
LP, no offense. That's some white shit. Like, I've never seen black folks put marshmallows in their yams ever.
My whole life, my aunt has done that.
How light is she?
She's Puerto Rican.
I said, how light?
Me. The one you met.
Light. Okay. But yeah, no. What's that purple shit that comes in a can?
Cranberry.
Ugh.
Cranberry was a later in life thing for me. I like it now.
I could care less about a cranberry. I'm all in on a squash casserole. I'm all in on a corn or green bean side, green, like a corn casserole. And I don't disagree. I like a sweet potato, but I like a brown sugar nut top. That's what my mom does.
That sounds good.
I knew Jan knew what the fuck was up.
Yeah. So
I've never had that.
That's what these white people do.
That just sounds delish.
Yeah. It's a nice like brown sugar, butter, pecan or walnut kind of crust on top of her sweet potatoes. And I usually eat that for dessert.
That sounds lovely. Mm-hmm. Yum. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
The whole fam jam is coming in town. I think we've got everybody. My older sister and her kids. The rest of us kind of live in and around here. So she's definitely traveling the farthest, but we're all going to my parents. It'll be very nice.
Very nice. Very nice. We're keeping it a little small. It's just going to be me and Desmond, his mom, and my mom and her husband. Although my mom tends to just invite people. So who knows who will actually end up being there. But as far as I know, it's going to be a smaller Thanksgiving.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
My mom loves a stray.
I'd love to be a stray at your mom's house. Oh my God. You know, you're going to eat well. There'll be plenty of bottles of wine.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, it is Thanksgiving week. If you're listening when this episode drops, it is Thanksgiving Day. So hopefully you're feeling thankful and or full. I don't know if I'm going to do a lot of Black Friday shopping. Do you tend to do that?
No. No, I don't.
Okay.
I used to get dragged to it by my grandmother sometimes, but it was in rural Alabama, so it wasn't as bad. Like the outlet malls in Gadsden aren't like popping. But I refuse to go to a store like Target or Walmart or anything like that. I don't want to wait in lines. I don't want to deal with that. I will do some cyber shopping because nowadays you can kind of get those same sort of deals online. But I don't want to mess with it. Do you? Yeah,
the beauty of the internet. We used to. That was like part of our Thanksgiving whole situation was we'd get up at like the ass crack of dawn before the sun came up. We'd go Black Friday shopping when I was younger. Don't do it as much now because, like I said, the internet. But yes, that was like part of our whole thing when I was growing up.
How about you, Desmond? Are you a Black Friday shopper? Do you get out amongst the crowds and the people?
It's just racist. I don't support it. Okay. No, I don't do that shit. Like I tried to get Brie to go camp out to get me a new Xbox, but I think that's still up for debate on if she's going to do it or not.
That's a no. It's a no.
We'll talk about it off the pot. But no, I'll be right on my couch watching some football. Hopefully a little medicated.
Very, very nice.
Yep. Well, there are, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been back. So like a lot of things have been happening in the Bravo universe. One thing in particular was that Andy officially on the record said that Roni is on pause until 2023, he said.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa. Like what?
Yeah. It's not gone forever. Like, you know how they did with Dallas. They just kind of said like, that's done.
Yeah, because it deserved to go.
Yeah, they just said it is on pause until 2023 at least, because they got to do some, I don't know, digging or rearranging or something. But yeah, we're going to have at least a whole year without Roni.
Major recasting, hopefully.
Yo, look what Ebony done did to y'all, man. That shit is so funny to me because everybody was so supportive of Ebony being on the show. Oh, it's going to be so good. We get to see more Black women. And now y'all niggas don't get to see shit thanks to her. So
what was your saying about Teresa? If you can't,
hey, if I'm not on the block, these hoes can't eat. Yeah, that's it. Ebony was on the block and now your hoes can't eat.
Well,
it was a bit of a train wreck. I still stand for Ebony and I love her as a person. It clearly didn't work as a housewife. But we've talked about how they weren't like those women weren't all like as a group weren't friends. So, I mean, that's the foundation of that problem.
Yeah, I don't blame this at all on Ebony. I blame this on the fact that like they're, you know, these people, they're awful to watch on TV. Like we'll jump into some of their behavior because we run into them a little bit on what we're talking about this week with the Ultimate Girls Trip, but or Ultimate Housewives Trip. Whatever the heck they're calling it. I don't know. Anyways, but their behavior is problematic and it wasn't Ebony that was problematic. You know, like it was, yeah.
Mm. I'm just outsider looking in. I don't know shit. So I'm gonna shut my mouth. But I thought y'all went and loved it. You know what I mean? I thought it was getting so much support these past couple of years. I think the only denominator is what? It's like you all were fine with the stupid shit that Ramona was saying back then, but now once Ebony's there, it's an issue. So I don't know.
I think Trump being in office, or rather, I think this most recent like presidential cycle brought up a lot of things that weren't being talked about on those shows before, and that's why we've taken a turn. You know, because if I mean. I just think that's what it is. Like, that's the topic of conversation now. And when you're with literally mixed company with people who don't believe the same things, you're going to butt heads about it. And that's why it got real weird and awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah, it became uncomfortable. I agree. Like that, I guess it just became very uncomfortable television to watch. But I think, I don't know, maybe that all could have been dealt with better if you had personalities that were willing to like engage, but
don't you think that was Andy's plan with New York? Because the climate of the country has been the same, but if you look at all these other cities, it's like they're doing fine. Even though I don't really like fancy and was that
Beverly Hills.
It's like besides Dallas, New York is the only one that's having these issues from my standpoint. I don't know.
I think it's because they have somebody like Ebony who is like not afraid of the uncomfortable talk. Like Garcelle will, like, especially this past season, she brought up a little bit like as a Black woman, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I also think that for the most part, all of the women on Beverly Hills like thought the same way politically and morally. And that wasn't the case in Roni. And that was where things got awkward.
And it was done a little differently in terms of how issues of race and difference in race, like, were brought up, where with Garcelle, it was more based in the natural flow of conversation, where Ebony pushed it on the group a bit, right? There were parties dedicated. There were conversations. There were dinner parties. There were everything that she brought to the show was in some way related to exposing people to a different religion, exposing people to different race background. Like, that's her background. That's what she's chosen to do with her career and her life in a way. So, like, that's how it came across, but it seemed a lot more planned, where with, like, I don't know, it, like I said,
it was definitely forced. Yeah. And that's the issue about it. You can bring things up naturally to where every time you're on screen, it's not all black power, less talk about race. There could be a middle ground. I just don't think Ebony found it.
Yeah.
And I think she's friends with those people.
Smelled a lot of cocoa butter when she was on the screen.
Well, and that's how people learn, right? Is like kind of gentle exposure, I guess, right?
I get it. But for the platform to be Real Housewives of New York, I don't think if people would have thought this out properly, I don't think they would have thought it would have went over well. You get what I'm saying? It's like people come to these shows to escape reality. And now with the climate of America, the way it is now, I can't even escape that shit when I try to turn on New York. So I feel people's gripes, but I don't really care.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear why people would be like, oh, we see this everywhere. It's on the news. It's in every facet of life. And now we have to watch that quote unquote wokeness here on our, like, what is supposed to be our mental escape, which is Bravo. But like, if you don't start to reflect life in media, you know, what is, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I was going to say, what is the point? But like, we watch a lot of things that have no relation to our everyday life that bring us a lot of joy. So yeah, what does it matter?
But I guess they think 2 years is going to be enough to calm down the temperament of the fans, and we'll bring it back in 2 years. But
yeah, maybe that is the plan, to like kind of air it out. Oh, people forget. I don't know.
I think they have to do a lot of work to that cast. Like, it's clear they can't jump back.
They're not all friends. Like,
and even if work. Even if they try to give some of those women second, third, fourth chances, whatever you want to consider it, I think there's clearly some healing that has to go on amongst that group, that it's not going to make for good TV if they jump right back into it and everyone is still displeased and the ratings are low and no one's watching, right? They've clearly got lessons to learn, because they've taken a franchise that has historically done really well, and the ratings kind of speak for themselves. You know, it's tanked a little bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
I feel bad. What's my little elf girl with the ears?
Leah.
I feel bad for Leah, man. Like, she was one of my favorites on the show, and now I don't get to see her for a couple of years.
You don't. And apparently she and Ebony have had some kind of falling out, because when that book, Not All Diamonds and Rosé, like, they had like a publishing party or something, Leah and I think Luann and Ramona kind of made some sort of plan to dip out once Ebony got there. So something has been happening to make it not copacetic, at least between Ebony and Leah. So I don't know. I don't think that people being uncomfortable about race talks is Bravo's problem. I think that's people's problem. Like, like, how lucky that you don't have to think about that every day.
Well, you gotta know your audience.
Sure. Yeah.
Don't mean to debate, but you do have to know your audience and what you're feeding them.
And at the end of the day, that is what's going to push a network, is like whether or not something is a popular topic that like pushes and drives people to watch. And if it doesn't, then they're going to do what they're doing. Right. So,
but you're right. And we see on Beverly Hills how they can have some of those conversations a little bit and not be so combative.
Right.
Because they know each other better. So
they know each other. Garcelle just has a way. I mean, she speaks of it very plainly and flatly, but like still in a very touching way, right? Like, where it's, again, it's just like, this is the shit that I have to deal with, right? This is the things that I've always had to deal with. Open your eyes to it. And if you can't, like, then you don't get to know me, you know? And and we can leave it there. Whereas Ebony's like, you must know this, right? Like, in order to be a good, fulfilled human, you must know this, right? And it is not going over well. It hasn't gone over well.
It has not. So we won't have Roni for a little bit of time. Thankfully, we have Salt Lake City to keep the drama moving forward for us.
And even more than just what's happening on Bravo, ABC and Hulu are taking a turn at what they call a quote unquote news special and bringing us The Housewife and the Shaw Shocker.
Yeah.
Which is a gross sounding name to me. But
that's So one of our, like one of us in the Bravo podcast community is making an appearance on that special. The ladies from the Bravo docket are going to be on there kind of talking a little bit about their legal expertise on the topic, which is really cool. Yeah. But yeah, our little Bravo universe is really, really making its way.
Yeah. Okay. So I saw on this one that $25,000 glasses, whatever her name was on this one as well, which makes less sense to me than the Erica Girardi Housewife and the Hustler. Yeah. Whatever her name is, Dana something, something.
Wilkie or something.
Dana Wilkie. That's it. Is also apparently an expert witness in all things Housewives and knows, I don't know, is being interviewed for.
She must have a great agent.
I don't know what she also must have, like podcasts dedicated to the Housewives that just get her.
Something's got to be happening there. Cause what does she have to do with Jen Shaw?
I have no idea.
That's bizarre. Good for her, I guess. Poor thing. She really wanted to be a real housewife of Beverly Hills.
If you can't be them, what do they say? If you can't do, teach. So
sure.
That's Dana Wilkie for us.
If you can't be, then expert witness on ABC.
I'm starting to wonder whether or not I should trust ABC News anymore.
I don't know. We watched some thrilling 2020 this weekend. So who knows?
Yo, and to all you motherfuckers taking pictures outside in the parking lot where Jen got arrested, y'all are weird as fuck.
Ooh.
That's some weird shit. Like, to go and try to memorialize a place where somebody got arrested and that affects their future, no matter if they did it or not, for you to try to make that a thing is so fucking weird. Do y'all not have lives? You want to go and take a picture in a parking lot in front of some weird ass building to say, hey, I was in the same place Jen got arrested. Do you know how fucking weird that makes you look? Like, I would never go to Marcy Projects where Ho grew up or somewhere in Philly where Meek got arrested and go take a picture and post that shit. Like, oh my gosh, I was here. Fucking weirdos. But the Bravo universe is fucking weird. I'm sorry. Some of y'all are weirdos.
It can be a petty place. It can be a very petty place. I would go take a picture in front of Beauty Lab and Laser, surely because it's Beauty Lab and Laser. And who knows if Heather Gay's in there. But I hear you. You put a new perspective on it for me today when we were talking about this on the text and understood it isn't appropriate.
I just don't get it. It's like, people don't think Joe's real in your universe. Like in the Bravo universe, for people to get online and celebrate Erica Girardi possibly getting in some legal trouble and celebrate Jen getting arrested, do y'all not know that's real people's fucking lives?
Well, it's
or not.
It's the Martha Stewart jail perception, right? It's this perception that these people, because they are for the most part like white and wealthy, that they are going to get like either off or a cush sentence, or, you know, like Teresa, while she was in jail, from what I understand, was in that same place where Orange Is the New Black was like based on.
Oh, that's right.
It's pretty like seemingly low key sort of. So that is the perception. That is genuinely, I'm sure, the perception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that I would, I mean, as excited as I get about Bravo things, it is also, it is weird to me too, that somebody would go somewhere and be like, this is where they got arrested, rather than this is so-and-so's business, you know?
Right. Y'all niggas ain't been through real shit. That's what it is. People will go and celebrate that. Y'all haven't been through shit. Ugh. I'm sorry. That really upset me when I saw that on the Twitter timeline the other day. And Heather had the nerve to comment and repost it.
Heather's doing some weird stuff while also like sticking by Jen's side. I don't know.
What do you mean by that?
Like stuff like that. Like she'll like or retweet or comment on somebody's post about, you know, something that has to do with Jen's arrest. Or she'll get on Watch What Happens Live and be like, yeah, Jen's business has always been unsavory in my eyes. Like, I wonder if she realizes, I don't know, what that does to the perception of Jen, or I don't know.
Well, all those women let it unleash this week. They just let it, every story that they had in their back pocket that had not been brought up on camera before seemingly was unleashed last night around a dinner table in Vail because they had nothing else better to do.
Yeah. It all felt very real the way that they all were like, oh, I always thought this, or I always thought this. It felt like a very, like, I don't know, like a very high school thing that happens. I don't know about guys, but amongst girls, that like when you kind of like latch on to one negative thing about somebody, everybody wants to like be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not, it's a bit of part of it, but
yeah, it's like their bit of knowledge, their like ability to rationalize it and like explain what they also know. I don't. Yeah. It's a thing that like, I think women do, and you're right, center around middle school and high school, and only typically happens when you're in a large group like that. I feel like when it's just like a couple of you, it's not the case, but
yeah,
there is almost this like piling on of information. It's like, this is what I know.
It is. Yeah. It's bizarre. One person who, I have a theory maybe about next season is, like, I'd like to know the over under on Meredith selling bath bombs next year. You know how Wendy's got her candles for like 18 wick candles. Meredith being in that bathtub for, I don't know, a million years. I feel like that's going to, our bath bombs going to show up in her store.
Absolutely. Season. If she does not monetize like bubbles, you know, in some way, then she's missed it. She's missed the mark. No. Pun intended for the last name. So yeah, she spent a lot of time in that bathtub, but more power to her. She looks great. I would be like, sure, let the bubbles dissipate.
That was obviously super produced, but yeah, it was a whole thing. And Meredith is ice cold. Like the way that she was talking about Jen, I know that she hasn't been Jen's biggest fan since the whole deal with Brooks last season, but like, the way that she reacted to the news that Jen got arrested and just the way that she talked to the woman about it afterward, like, ooh.
Very aggressive. Very, yeah. Like, did I make myself clear? I will not be around Jen. If you invite her, do not invite me. Like, okay, I can understand. If you don't want to be around somebody, it's totally within your prerogative to say, look, if they're going to be around, just don't include me on the invite list. But it was so forceful.
Yeah. And that energy only came out once Jen had gotten arrested. And then we found out that she had hired that private investigator against Jen also. There's a lot happening there.
Did she tip off the feds? Was it you, Meredith? Explain yourself.
She likes to play coy with that, but I mean, to Desmond's point, that is somebody's life. Like, I have to remind myself that too. This isn't just TV.
It's not just TV, but it is real people's lives. But as we've learned, I think you learned this week, Stu pled guilty. Like, her assistant pled guilty. So speaking of real lives, they are like, if they're guilty, they are fucking with real people's lives.
Yeah. So let me read you something that the Bravo docket posted a few days ago when he pled guilty. They said Stuart Smith has pled guilty to wire fraud, money laundering, and obstruction of an official proceeding in 2018. Stuart admitted he sold marketing to the victims that was, quote, of no value to consumers. He admitted that he received the money illegally and had those proceeds delivered to his bank accounts knowingly. He stated he knew what he was doing was wrong and illegal when he was doing it. He admitted that they conducted business in cash to avoid knowledge of whom the recipient was. And he admitted that 10 of the victims were over the age of 55. It does not
say Jen's name.
Well, no, it doesn't say okay. Jen's name.
Keep going.
That's all I'm just saying.
There, I heard a lot of he.
He pled guilty, I'm sure, to some level of a sentence so that he would flip on her.
The thing is, we cannot convict these people in the court of public opinion. Until she goes to court, until she has her day in court, we cannot bash her the way people have been. It's disgusting to me. It's, oh my gosh. Do people not understand the way the justice system works? It's just because there are allegations out there, doesn't make them true.
What happens, Desmond? What happens if she pleads guilty? Where does your mind go?
Why did she do it? Was there a deal on the table? Did they get... What's this guy's name?
Stewart.
Look, I watch a lot of Dateline. I watch a lot of 2020. There are a lot of times where cops lie to you to get confessions. Not saying it happened here, but the way they play is not always fair. So if Jen does... decide to plead guilty, I'm going to have to take my time, get the facts, and then I can condemn her if need be. I'll ride or die. I'm very fair and loyal, but if you're wrong, you're wrong. But until it's proven that you're wrong, I'm going to ride with you. Same way with Bree. If you do something fucked up, I'm ride with you until, you know, until it's proven. And that's how friends should be. So fuck Heather, fuck Lisa. Ugh, I feel bad for Jen.
Okay.
Like, who does she have as a friend on that cast? They all talk shit about her behind her back.
I will say that in yesterday's episode, and Jenny, is that her name? Jenny? She's new. She hardly knows these people, but you can tell that she, like Desmond was saying, these people haven't been through shit. You can tell that she maybe has been through shit because she's very much like, why would we? Because Meredith says, who's going to be friends with Jen after this? Before they know anything besides the fact that she was arrested. And Jenny was like, well, how are we going to say that? Like, we're just going to leave her because she got arrested for something. Like, we don't even know anything yet.
Right.
And then even when she did get arrested and they were going to bail, Jenny was like, what are we going to do by sticking around? Like, let's go. Let's do what we said. She just seems way more like logical and level headed. And maybe it's her distance from Jen and the situation because they're not super friends. But I guess what's sad is that maybe she's the most loyal and she's not even really a friend because she's brand new to the crew. I don't know.
Right. Her and Mary. Mary didn't actually say anything. I was surprised. Mary just like sat there with her two lips buttoned and just was like, well, who was surprised? And that was it. Like that. Yeah. That's where she left it.
Well, she did say last night that she always, and this is another reason why I like hate that Mary is in a position to like pastor people, but she was like, I never saw anything good in Jen. I always knew that there was scandal there. And
Oh, Monday morning quarterbacks. I can't stand them.
That's not how a freaking minister should speak about people. That makes me crazy. But yeah, I mean, they never got along. Jen did call her grandpa effer, but still.
It's the fucking truth.
Okay. So there's that.
Your passion astounds me to this day. It's Bravo, and I love how much you love it. It's great.
He loves this little corner of it, and we will take it.
Yes.
So LP, you, while we've been out or on break, I guess the past couple weeks, you've been all over the country.
Touchdown in a few different states, went to Los Angeles again, and then went to Las Vegas for a little bit. That was interesting. I'll just say it. I threw up on a flight attendant.
What?
Which was maybe not my proudest moment.
I can't.
You vomited on somebody?
Flight attendant. hey. It was mostly water. To the flight attendant on the Las Vegas to Atlanta flight. I think it was the red eye the other night. My apologies. I had just woken up. Had drunk a lot of water and then immediately needed to throw up. And she was unfortunately in the line of fire. So I feel like if I have the platform, I might as well utilize it to say my deepest and sincerest apologies.
How did she react? You drop on her.
She was not pleased. She was less than, in fact, well, what I had approached her to say, hi, I need a barf bag. And I was trying to like control that and like waiting as she was getting it. And she was trying to help me with that. And then as I reached for the barf bag, I moved my hand that was covering my mouth. And it just like spewed on her. And I felt so bad because we were also landing, and which is why I think I got ill. I don't know, maybe altitude change and whatever. But we were landing, so I'm also being yelled at by the other flight attendant to say like, "Sit down, brace for landing." Like literally, these were her words, and so I was like trying to stumble back to my seat. And all the while I'm watching the woman having to spray down and clean up the floor where I was standing previously. I've never felt more guilty about something in my life. Like if we weren't landing, I would be over there with her, like being like, please don't, this is my mess. But I was not in that position.
Oh my God.
She was not pleased. When I got off the plane, I tried to apologize because she also happened to be the flight attendant standing by the exit. And she basically said, go, just please go.
Oh, that poor woman.
Understood. Thank you for your service and parted ways.
It's just never just a flight.
No,
a drive no. Or a party.
I really wish I could hear her tell her story to her family.
Oh my friends. God, yes.
This bitch on the airplane fucking threw up on me. Oh my gosh.
Well, this is what she yelled out as she ran towards the front of the plane. It was, oh my God, it's all over me.
Well, if she was a listener, it's one less now.
Rest assured, it was water. It was just all water. I can guarantee you that.
Insides.
Yes. It had been inside of me for about 5 minutes. Oh, yes.
Wow. Well, before that, you did meet some, or at least see some exciting people.
When I was in Los Angeles, I got to hang out with some of those twats from NYC Prep. I never watched the show, but apparently it was, they let us know pretty much immediately that they were from New York, that they were wealthy as hell, and one of them had been on NYC Prep.
I can't say that I wouldn't also do that if I had ever been on television.
That's what you lead with when you haven't been on television in like 10 plus years. That's what you're going to lead with in the first 5 to 10 to 15 minutes.
You're right. Do you remember when, a small side note, when LP and I were in college, we went to Auburn. And at that time, our freshman year, the show Two-A-Days was on MTV. Do you remember that?
I do very vividly.
I don't remember all the people on that show, but I remember one guy named Repeat. You remember him?
I do.
So I remember seeing Repeat at the bar, and literally as people were like walking by him, he was saying, I'm Repeat from Two-A-Days, to just anyone who would listen. And I remember being like, this is ridiculous. And I was 18.
Well, it's good.
In NFL, though, motherfucking Repeat.
Is he?
I don't know. Repeat a water boy somewhere.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't even think he played for Auburn.
I think he walked on and for a year, but yeah.
Whatever.
Okay. So
and then more importantly, hung out with them. They were wild time. They were whatever. More importantly, saw Ken Todd feet from him. And I still to this moment regret not being able to like have gotten a goodbye, Kyle, out in time.
Yes.
But we went to Tom Tom. So a friend of mine had a bridal shower thing this weekend, and we went out to the Abbey and a few other places. We went to Tom Tom for a little bit. And like that place, they lock it down when Ken Todd walks through. They're like, up against the wall, Don't move. I was like, excuse me, I'm just trying to go to the bathroom.
And also see Ken Todd.
Yeah. Oh my God. Goodbye, Kyle. But
that's cool.
I know. So Ken Todd and I breathe the same breath.
That's beautiful.
He's, I don't know. There's no comment. Like, he looks exactly as he looks in television. There's not a, it's all you can hope for too. When you go to somewhere like Pump or Tom Tom, is that you're going to get like,
yes, a sighting,
of some sort. So yeah. I saw it.
That is fun. Mm-hmm. Well, we spent, well, I guess maybe an early holiday gift was that Peacock dropped 4 episodes of The Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip over the past week. So we have spent our time checking that out. And really, I mean, we've been waiting and really building it up in our minds for months and months and months now. So
I mean, we talked about this when the trailer dropped. I was personally like not on board. I was not that psyched for it. Here I am 4 episodes later. Loved every moment of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
let's take a really quick break and then we can come back and chat it up in tea time.
Here for it.
Welcome back. It's officially tea time. What are we sipping on?
Well, I'm sipping on one of those little canned beverages from, brought it back from California, but they have these handy dandy little pouches that you can like pour into your glass and then pour in some like soda water and make yourself a little carbonated canned beverage.
Adorbs. Mm-hmm. I have a little Pinot Grigio, not a Ramona Pinot. Sorry. But you know,
sorry, not sorry.
That's true. Fair enough. Yeah.
Don't apologize for buying what is probably shitty wine from a shitty person.
That's true. Yeah. So that is that. We watched so much Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip in preparation for, well, we were going to watch it anyway. Who am I kidding? But in preparation for this episode, so essentially the premise of this show, it's a 1-week vacation where housewives collide. It's like what all Bravoholics have been waiting for, is really bringing all of like really any housewives from just different franchises together. It felt a little bit to me like that show, what's it called? Designated Survivor or something, because all of these OGs were in one place. And I was like, well, this feels unsafe. All of these very important people.
I know for a good damn fact you did not compare the housewives to the government having a designated survivor in case everyone dies and we need a president. I know you didn't do that.
It was a lot of important people.
What the fuck? Yo, can I leave? I'm out.
I was going to leave it at face value, too. I was sitting over here, like, shaking my head, saying, yes, maybe.
I felt like it. So many something. Important people in one spot. I mean, if it was a true designated survivor situation, I would have had different OGs there. But it felt like that. There was a lot of, like, really important people in one place. But they were there for a week in the Turks and Caicos in this bomb-ass resort home. You know, everyone had a theme day or night, like a theme event kind of. And they even had these like real world style confessionals that
I loved it. I was sitting there chewing it up. Oh my God. The real world style confessionals.
Yeah. So overall, what did you think of this new situation?
Well, I was very trepidatious would be the word about whether or not this was going to be worth my time. It absolutely was, and it will continue to be. I mean, I thought that we got to see, they gave us a little bit of what we want, which is kind of behind the curtain, open that kimono, all the other phrases, all these other phrases people would use to saying like what's happening behind the scenes. They are breaking that fourth wall. I mean, we've been getting a lot of that recently, both on the shows themselves, as well as now getting all of this Bravo released kind of books and all, not all diamonds and rosé. And Andy just put out a book, a tell all book as well. And like now that we get, they are asking each other the questions that we kind of are interested to know about what is, you know, not what is real, but kind of what is real on your show. And that's been interesting to see. I like it. I'm here for
it. I do too. I've really enjoyed it. I know Desmond had some favorites going into it before anything even started, just like on a surface level. I mean, I guess it's all surface level, but what do you think so far?
A lot of skin. That's what I liked about it. A lot of skin. Fellas, I told y'all to get your Jergens ready, and I hope you did, because a lot of Melissa, which I love, and I have a newfound favorite.
Oh.
And Kyle. Oh, fine ass. Oh, my gosh. How old is she?
I mean, 50s.
Old probably enough. 50s. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man, can you imagine when Melissa gets 50? Hot mama, fuck.
And then she's 42-ish, I think?
Yeah. Early 40s, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, a lot of skin. Kenya was looking good, had that ass out. Luann sexually assaulting the fucking host. Crazy, right? Like, imagine if I just whipped my dick out in front of somebody who's just torn us around.
That is truly the equivalent, yeah. He's an HR nightmare. Yeah. He allowed him to straddle her this last episode.
I was going
to
say, he volunteered and suggested the idea that he put a shot glass in his mouth and have Luann take it out of it with her mouth.
Yeah.
So I think he saw something he liked.
What did he say?
I hope his wife divorces him.
Is he married?
Hell yeah, he's married.
He was married. That was what was so bizarre. He said to the women, like the day or two prior to when Luann straddled him, that he was married and he was wearing a wedding ring. They commented on his wedding ring.
Oh, I fully glossed over all of that. I didn't realize that at all. That changes things. Okay. Wow. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, sure. So he must be getting paid a whole lot is all I guess I can say about it.
I'm sure. I mean, I guess, right? If your job is to be the concierge, like the luxury concierge at some luxury home in Turks and Caicos, half of your job is probably being hit on by both men and women and trying to get in your pants. So like, maybe it's part of your job to like take that to a certain level, but not past that level.
Right.
And to be honest, even though I don't have an attraction to Luann, she has a good body.
She looks great.
She is an amazing body. Oh my God. It's unbelievable. That was all I could stare at was her abs. Yeah. Luann's abs was all I looked at. Kenya looked great. Kenya has been getting fit and in shape. That her body looks amazing right now. I mean, usually, but like particularly good right now.
You see her getting wrapped up in that tinfoil? Oh my gosh.
Luann was just like, oops, I lost it. And then we've got Ramona, who just no one asks to see it, but she just gladly shows her asshole and her breasts.
So something that I was worried about was that the whole season was going to be like the Ramona coaster and that the whole thing was going to be just about her because she took over at least that first episode and a half talking about how Roni put Bravo on the map. Which I will say, I don't think is not a lie, because season one of Roni certainly was so much better than season one of OC. Like, I don't think that's debatable.
Yeah, you hate to see her right in those instances, but she is right.
But I also think that Atlanta is like the house that Nene built that elevated it also.
That took what Atlanta or what Housewives could be to another level.
Yes. Sure.
It laid the groundwork for things like Potomac and having your head bashed in over a barrel.
Sure.
Because we'd pulled wigs well before we pulled Candace's weave.
Yes. I don't know, just, and I don't think I can fully explain it, but what happened with Atlanta, that just, that made that, that kept Housewives on the map, I guess. But I will say, I agree with Ramona that Roni put Housewives on there. The map. Cause I mean, OC started it, but nobody can say that OC like kept it up there. Come on.
Well, Ramona is up to her old tricks, which is just annoying. I'm like, but I guess it's what we expect, right? For her to just like go pee literally on a bed and make it her
own. Yeah. And all that whole run to get the room game is really played out. She's got an AARP membership at this point. The way that she acts is inexcusable, even for television. And it's annoying that the women are like, la, 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 it's fine. It's just Ramona.
Well, not on this. And I think that's why it stopped being the Ramona coaster after the first episode or so, because the women weren't putting up with it. Kenya literally called her out and was like, excuse me, I am literally ordering right now. Shut your mouth. And then, I mean, there were a few other instances, I think, where they were like, you can't behave like this. You literally cannot behave like this. So I think it got shut down pretty quickly.
I guess it just doesn't keep her from acting that way, which is just really bizarre to me.
And continuing to call Kenya Portia is,
yeah,
I almost think it's on purpose.
Yes. Yes. She acts like it's not, but surely, come on. So, yeah. So right away we get a Ramona versus Kenya situation. She calls Kenya a bitch on the flight to Turks and Caicos. Speaking of that flight, when Cynthia brought out the picture of Brooklyn and those scissors,
that's weird as fuck.
I a little bit thought she was going to make Kenya cut the picture of Brooklyn. Like, she brought the ribbon to be like, you know, kind of like, you're on your own vacation for the first time. But I really thought she was like, stab this picture of your child. You're on a girl's trip.
That was so weird.
It was.
Why'd she do that?
It was a little weird.
Cynthia is full of odd, like, symbolic gestures. She is honestly the queen of them. Her like friendship contract with Nene was the very first one that we saw. I feel like there's been others since where she's like, I don't know, made the women go to some sort of like healing or shaman situation. Like,
I would hate to be her friend. For real.
Don't worry, you won't have to watch her on television trying to be anybody else's friend any ever again.
Oh, she gone?
Yeah.
What happened?
She supposedly stepped down from Housewives.
Oh, she's retiring.
She's retiring. Yeah.
It's about that time.
Hanging up her peach. Her peach is starting to expire.
She can go chill with her new husband.
They're starting to wrinkle.
Oh God.
Ooh.
Whatever. He loves Cynthia.
Not as much as Kenya.
I know. That is true.
She is.
Yeah.
And then the nerve of her to get jealous that Kenya is bonding with 4LW.
That is fully what's happening.
Jealous ass. She, I think, you know what? Go
ahead. I was gonna say, I think she just needs something to talk about.
I don't know. I think that she also, I guess I didn't label it as jealousy, but I see that now.
I don't get it. It's like, you remember when she pulled her to the side and she wanted to have a talk on the beach? Usually when you pull someone that you call a friend to the side, it's to come to an understanding and to a common ground. It's not to reiterate how upset you are. So that conversation was pointless. Now, I understood why my girl Kenya wasn't really paying attention.
Well, I loved it. She was like, what are you doing? Just washing my feet. Like, let me be me.
No, it was weird. And I mean, I guess I get, first of all, okay, let me rewind. There's been approximately 700 Bailey Qs on Bravo at this point. We can't find any other name for your theme party than a Bailey Q. Like, I just, okay.
She lives and dies on a theme. Chill at the lake.
That's true. She loves
like
that.
Like, Bailey's Bailey House on the lake or whatever, Lake Bailey. Like all of these things, she loves a theme of some sort. And she really just wears it out.
Yeah. She couldn't get over, I guess, that Kenya wasn't on her side. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's reset the scene. So whose dinner was it?
It was Cynthia's.
Cynthia had a dinner and she had a game that she wanted to play. What was it called? You know?
I don't know.
It was a very petty game to where she gave out medals based off of awards, like the most prettiest, the biggest booty and shit like that. And my newfound boo, Kyle, she did not want to participate. And I get it. It's like I wouldn't call it code switching because obviously the cast in Atlanta is completely different than the women that they're around now. But it's like what I said earlier with Ebony, you have to read the room. So if your guests feel uncomfortable playing these type of games, then don't let it get to you. Just switch it up. It is very, what'd you call it before? Superficial. It was a very superficial game. But I don't understand why she took offense to Kenya not having her back on that.
Yeah. And Kenya explained it too. She was like, listen, these girls don't play the same way we do. So like we just can't do it the same. And then Cynthia would come back and say, I know, I changed it. And then she would reiterate how upset she was that Kenya didn't.
After claiming she wasn't upset.
Right. Yeah. Poor Kyle is back there just apologizing left and right. I like Kyle a lot on this trip. I know that Desmond said that's a new favorite.
Yes.
But I like her a lot. I mean, I was interested to see what it would be like since she doesn't have any of her castmates with her.
Right.
How she would kind of acclimate. But I will say she's holding center peach on all of the promo material. I will say that.
Well, they got to balance it out.
They do. And I don't know. I really liked her. She seemed like a really good time. She was really chill about the rooms. She's just wanting to just have a good time. She revealed that she had sex with Maurizio, you know, in public.
At a table with 10 other people.
Yeah.
That's the hottest thing I've ever heard. Oh, my God.
Melissa's response to it was my favorite. She was like, where's the zipper? Does it hurt? I'm just worried about the zipper.
I know, right? I can't believe it. Also, my favorite part about Kyle is she's running around continuously singing, waking up in the morning, thinking about so many things.
Yeah, yeah. She just seems cool, like a really good time.
Oh my gosh, yes. She definitely is having fun. And I think that's probably because she doesn't have anybody from her cast that she's used to filming with, that she just kind of like hurls herself. I think that's what's been fun about watching is that all these women, there's not the pressure of them like maintaining their positioning on the show because they're never going to film with all these women again, right? Like it's truly them just going and having a good time. And that's what makes it enjoyable to watch. And sometimes what the Housewives franchises themselves end up missing the mark on is that it can be a lot of fun when these women go out and get along. And when you start to pit them against each other about their positioning on the show, like it does create this kind of more, I don't know, acrimonious environment.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it a lot so far. It has been like just a good time, feel good type of show with a little bit of drama. I don't think it surprises America, but for whatever reason, it surprised all the girls on the trip that Teresa hates Melissa. She can pretend like we're family, it's fine, but like everyone is like, you hate her. And Melissa's even like, you hate me.
Yes, yes, there is no, she's like, I tolerate her because my brother is my only living relative.
Yes.
And that's just really, family means that much to me. But I hate that bitch, but I'm not going to say those words because I love my brother.
Yes, that's literally what is happening. All of us can see it. And everyone on the show is like, huh, it's so wild. I assumed that they were cool, but I don't think they are. We're all like, yeah, no shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah. She's like, I did not ask you to be on the, I did not. I told them to not have you on the show. And Melissa's like, well, Andy reached out to me. So he did not. No, he did not.
And for this reason, they will always be on Rahonja.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I've thoroughly enjoyed Teresa too. We haven't really talked about her because she's been kind of low key the whole time.
She's been in love.
She's just sitting over there reading her love notes from Louie, chilling, working out, enjoying the sun.
The next time I'm on vacation, will you write me a love letter for every day that I'm gone? So I can open it every day. That's a no face.
It seems
like she does.
It seems cheesy and over the top. And if someone did that to me, I'd be like, this is sweet, but really? I don't know. I think I'd be I'd just be like, where'd you get this idea from? Like, where did this come from? Who told you to do this?
Put them all in one day and throw them out. Oh, baby, that was so sweet. I appreciate it. I got them all.
Okay. Yeah. So there, you know, she's very much in love. She's very much into telling everyone that she's in love. She seems real happy and like almost a little bit more, not relaxed, but just a little bit more chill. Like she said, Ramona needs a D to relax a little bit. Maybe that is what's happened with Teresa.
You know, that it tends to mellow you out a little bit. So
she seems really chill. There is
go, Louie, go.
There's a lot happening to her face right now.
Her lips are very enhanced at this point in time. There's a lot. She's doing a lot of lining that I can see on top of what is also seemingly injections.
Yeah. And she doesn't, I don't know. She doesn't need that.
She doesn't need it. She's a gorgeous woman.
Yeah. But another fun thing about, I don't know how to pronounce Real Housewives of Ultimate Girls Trip, like we do with like Roni or a Hoslick or Rahonja or Roni, because it's, how do you, Rahugta?
Wait, what is it? Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip?
Yeah. R-H-U-G-T. Rahugta?
Rugit.
What?
Rugit.
So Rugit. Something interesting about Rugit is, I mean, the whole fourth episode is all about breaking the fourth wall. And like you were saying earlier, like the whole, they're asking the questions that all of us want to know.
Right.
One thing that I liked is, or noticed, is that Kyle basically admits to asking questions of Erica on the show. That she's like, I know she wants to or needs to like explain this. So I'm going to very pointedly ask her these questions, which makes a lot of sense for what we saw on the season.
The softballs. She's literally like tossing her the big old softballs. So Erica can address the things that Erica thinks she needs to address. Right. Very interesting. Very interesting. Not that we couldn't tell. And it's almost refreshing that like they know that this is obvious. And they're like, look, like, these are the things that we have to do. It was also interesting to me. They talked about the food and the ordering and that they always have to capture them ordering.
Yeah. That was,
they like to watch us order because, you know, we eat exotically.
Oh, another thing that they talked about was, so when they were filming, all of us in the real world were essentially being notified in real time of what they were doing. And they talked about that on the show. They were like, who is telling people where we are and where we're going to be?
It's Ramona naked. I don't know whether that's manufactured or not, but who do you think it'd be? Who's the snitch?
Well, they blamed it on Kenya because they said, I think right after they got off the plane, the story about Ramona calling her a bitch was already online as soon as they touched down. And then they went to the guy's Instagram profile and figured out the only person on Bravo following him was Kenya.
Oh.
He was the leak.
Yikes.
Or the supposed leak. Yeah. I mean, it's not like it kept any of us from watching. Like, who cares?
Sure.
So there's that.
I'm curious. If you were stuck on an island, what? I was initially going to ask three, but it could just be one. What is the housewife product that you would bring?
Like a product that a housewife has?
A housewife or a Bravo celebrity in general has made, has produced.
Okay.
Their company. It could be like Rinna's dusters or like Craig's pillows.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Or.
You know any?
No. No shit. Just give me a picture of Melissa and I'm good.
Ageless by Ramona or like Porsche's sheets.
Okay, I know what I would bring. I would bring Sonia's toaster oven.
Okay.
So I could cook something.
I hear you.
At least toast something enough that I didn't realize it was whatever it was and I could eat while I was on this island.
Okay. I know what I'd bring.
Which is what?
A caftan by Patricia Atchell.
Okay.
Got to keep it easy. Keep it breezy.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm going to be stranded for a while. I need it to.
I'm trying to think of like, there's so many things like Candy's whole toy line.
Now that is some, I take it back. That is what, if you're going to be stranded on a desert island, keep yourself busy.
What else is it? Okay, so I hadn't thought about Craig's pillows. That's a good one to think about. So much booze out there.
So much booze, but like you could make your own, I guess, right? That's,
I wouldn't know how, but but yeah.
Beverly Beach by Dorit. You could
okay, get a cute bathing suit.
A bathing suit.
What else is there?
Any fragrances by Miss Karen Huger?
Oh Lord, no, thank you. Reza has some hair products out there.
Mm.
I mean, doesn't Gigi have like some sort of CBD infused something? Wasn't she getting into that?
She's connected to the marijuana business in some way, I think, or I thought. I don't know. She definitely was checking that out. I don't know what she actually has anymore, but skinny girl popcorn.
Oh, that's right. So much food by Bethany. Duh. Desmond had an idea a while ago of us like getting and trying and like reviewing different products.
I call the caftan. I will gladly. If we're calling it research, I will go and buy it.
Okay. Fair enough. Do we know how many episodes this season has? I know they've already started, if not filming, they've already chosen the women who are going to be season two of however you said we pronounce this hashtag.
Rugit.
It's like all the ex housewives.
Come on down to Rugit.
Yeah. That's the next one. But I'm down for, I don't even know what day the new episodes come on. Like Peacock just continues surprising me. It's been great. I'm super into it.
What a thrill to have four dropped at once.
I know. It's been great. It's been so great.
Ah, what a thrill.
I know. So I've really loved it. Any last thoughts on Rugit?
Yeah, Desmond, did it fulfill anything in you outside of the Kenya and the Melissa Gorga skin rating?
No, I'm going to be honest. That's all I was watching for. I know it sounds bad, but hey, whatever gets me watching, I'm watching.
Sure.
We'll take it. All right. Well, let us come back in a moment. We'll give out a St. Andy Award. All right, we are back to give out our St. Andy Award. And this week it goes out to Luann de Lesseps, Countess Luann. Oh, as Ramona would say, Jesus Christ, for being very cool and not uncool at all. She is like the life of the party. Actually, as I was watching her on these episodes of Rugit, as LP has deemed is how we pronounce the hashtag of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, I honestly thought, LP, that Luann felt like you to me, like the very fun friend. Like other people could be worried about where they're sleeping or what they're eating or whatever, and you're just like, I am out here, this is the best. And just having the best time.
I'd be like, all right, tennis lessons. Okay. Yoga. Okay. Let's just lay in the pool.
Flashing the concierge check.
Sure. Why not?
Luann's been really cool. And like, at least for me, the past few seasons of Veroni, she's not my favorite. I mean, I think I've said before she could go. I wouldn't be super upset about it. But she's been really fun.
Bring her back for Rugit, right?
Yeah, she's been really fun.
You know why? She hasn't mentioned Countess anything once. She hasn't mentioned, she's only talked about the cabaret one time, and it was because someone else mentioned it. So like, look, you're totally relatable, Luann. Just leave all that other stuff away.
Yeah, she's real fun. I like her a lot. And she's got a body to die for.
She's a body to die for. And she's actually pretty good at keeping Ramona in check. It actually cracked me up. They were all diving into what their insecurities were, which I actually thought was kind of an interesting and beautiful moment when they were going around the table and like Kenya mentioned not finding, you know, unconditional love. And then like, you know, then she had her child and then maybe finding that in a man, I think was her other comment. And then like Luann, or no, who else? Well, Luann was basically like, I'm scared I'm gonna have to grow old with Ramona, push her around Central Park. But like, I think they genuinely care about each other. And she seems like the only person that can actually like snap some sense into her sometimes.
Yeah. She's certainly the one who knows her the best, so who could rally her if need be. So Luann gets our award, our St. Andy award this week. I did notice that, I think it was Cynthia. Like, one thing I'm liking about Rugit is that they are like quoting each other to each other.
Yes.
Melissa sings Money Can't Buy You Class to Luann. Cynthia says to Luann, don't be all uncool. and Kyle's, you know, singing Gia's song. Like, it's just great. Luann asks about Bolo.
I know. It's like they know, it's clear that they know about each other's season. So it almost like there's a little bit of fandom happening amongst them, which is,
yeah, it's cute. It is really cute. So I'm excited for the rest of that season. And subsequent seasons, keep them coming. And I guess now that I've paid for Peacock, Jesus Christ,
bring us more content, I guess. Well, hopefully you're just prepared for Miami.
Oh yes. I forgot. Oh my God. Yes. That's coming soon enough. So that'll be awesome. And then Winterhouse is ending. Did you know this?
I mean, I guess they had to be able to produce less episodes, cause it was only like they were only there for what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, just like short period of time.
Yeah. They were there for 2 weeks, I guess almost 3 weeks, but yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I guess that's fine. so whatever.
Go back to your normal lives if you must.
And then OC comes back, December 1st. So next week or ish. Yeah.
Okay.
It's exciting. Lots of things happening, and we're coming to the end of 2021, which is wild.
New Year's, baby.
Mm-hmm. Almost a year of us doing this.
That's true. Mm-hmm. We'll have to have a little bit of maybe a commemorative episode for the new year. Up on 1 year.
Yes. Love it. All right. Well, it has been real, people. Happy, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you find yourself with good food and good friends or family or friends made family. If you aren't already following us online, we are at Boy Meets Bravo on Twitter and Instagram. I'll put a link to our social media pages in the show notes so that you can find us, chat with us. We are a Creative Geniuses Network podcast, so be sure to check out creativegeniusesnetwork.com or follow at Creative Geniuses Network for a lot more content. We've got a little bit of everything and a lot of new stuff coming out also. So definitely go check that out. And we will catch you on the flippity flip. Night. Good night. Oh God.
Monica, did you say I catch you on the flippity flip?
I don't know how to end it.
She doesn't even watch The Office.
I know. I was like, did you just quoted The Office?
I didn't know.
You and Michael Scott use the same vocabulary on just like a natural basis.
That's hilarious.
I think I've heard one of you. I know for sure, LP, I've heard you say that.
I may have said it.
That's what Craig set Michael up. Craig was like, let me teach you some new words. Let me teach you some new slang. Flippity flip. I see you on flippity flip.
See you on the flippity flip. Oh, I love it.